Hello, wandering artists, and welcome to episode 4 of my Postcards from the Road. Thank you for all of the comments and outreach from my last interview with Danny Gregory. It was pretty special to talk with him and gain insight into his creative journey. He was such a gracious and generous guest, and I loved learning from him. So several people have reached out to me looking for the podcast since I didn't air one last week. I was very touched and I'm happy listeners are looking forward to them. But I have to share something with you. I'm the type of person that marches to her own drum, and schedules and deadlines really annoy me. I have never liked the clock ticking over my head, and I fight against it constantly. I did say when I announced the podcast that it would be weekly-ish. I knew myself all too well, and if I had to have a conversation ready every week at the same time, I felt I would lose the quality and spontaneity I intended for these conversations, and that would take away my joy at doing this. Plus, I am my own boss, and I decided to give myself a few weeks off. I also made a commitment to myself to back away from self-imposed deadlines and tasks. Sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves because of other people's expectations, and I vowed to stop doing that. It only took me 60 years to figure that one out, and it felt good to give myself permission to do so. So, suffice it to say that I will stay on the weekly-ish schedule and hope you will pop in to listen whenever you can. I hope everybody's doing okay out there. This is a crazy time in our world, and I know everyone is just trying to do our best to get through. I hope you're practicing self-care and making time to be creative. It's so good for the soul and such a healthy distraction from the blare of the media and constant bad news. I'm making myself turn off the noise and creating my own soundtrack to play throughout the day. It may be music, podcasts, or even silence. But either way, it's what I choose and not what someone else speaks over me. Try it. You might find yourself going hours at a time without worrying about things that you don't have any control over anyway. So anyway, on to the interview. I'm really happy to introduce you to my next guest, Megan Burns, who I recently met on an art trip to San Miguel de Allende in Mexico. Besides being an incredible artist herself, Megan is an entrepreneur who turned something she loved into a creative business. Leading artists through Mexico on unparalleled trips, she is a true dynamo with a huge personality. After listening to her today, I'm sure you'll see why I decided to go on one of her adventures, and it all came about through an Instagram story and a leap of faith. We had a few audio challenges during the podcast, what with me being in Florida and her being in Mexico, but we got through it, and hopefully you can bear the few blips we had during the conversation. I hope you enjoy our chat, and I just know you will love Megan as much as I do. Hello, wandering artists. Today I have my friend Megan Burns with us. She is an artist, and she's also the owner of Art Leap Adventures. And I'm welcoming her from San Miguel de Allende, Mexico.
Correct.
How are you?
Hola. Hola. Buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes. And she speaks beautiful, beautiful Spanish. So I just wanted to invite you on and thank you so much for coming on today. I wanted to have you on because you and a trip that I took with you made such an impact in my life. And I just feel like I've been encountered all of these people that I seem to have, you know, that are being woven into my life and how they've affected me. And you were a big part of that. And I wanted to share that with the listeners. And I also wanted to share what you do because I think it's so amazing. So I just want to tell our listeners, and you might already know this, but I first found you when you were at in Amsterdam. At the Urban Sketchers Amsterdam last summer. I guess that summer of 2019.
Wait, did we meet there?
We did not meet there.
Oh, yeah, so okay.
Maybe you don't know this story. So I just, yeah. I followed the hashtag, the USK Amsterdam. And so every day, I wanted to go and I was supposed to go. And for some reason, I couldn't end up coming. So I was following along on everybody's journeys and posting. And one of your Instagram posts flashed up on that hashtag, and that shows you the power of social media.
Yeah.
But you were actually doing a little video with Anlar. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah,
another wonderful artist, and it was hilarious. And you
it was hilarious.
It was so cute, and I just thought I knew who Anne Laure was, but I was like, who is this? And so I, you know, instantly hit your name, or I think it was Art Leap Adventures.
Yeah,
and so then I looked at your social media profile, and I thought, oh my gosh, she does trips, and she's fun. I want to meet her. I want to go. So
it was like 115 degrees that day, and she and I were just. We were in the flower market, but people thought we were like in a club dancing, but we were in the flower market sweating and laughing and just being silly. And there were guys behind us dancing. So it was really, it was very fun.
It was great. And I'm telling you, you probably had no intention of advertising, but I mean, I just said, that's the kind of people I want to hang out with right there. So when I looked at your profile, which people often do on Instagram, I just looked through the feed, and then I went to your blog, your website. And of course I'll have links to everything in the show notes on the page, but the colors and the beauty and the festivity. And when I saw that you did, art tours and travel, traveling with groups, I was hooked. I was in. And then I went even further and found that you had an upcoming trip to San Miguel, which was on my bucket list. So, and with Sherry Blaukoff, which is an artist that I admired for a long time. So it was a perfect storm. So I signed up. So that's how I found you. So, and I'll tell you too, Megan, as a solo.
And I live in San Miguel. So that was kind of,
No, go ahead.
I live in San Miguel, and I don't normally do workshops here because I live here, right? But that one with Sherry, that was my first time doing a workshop here in San Miguel. And I feel like because there's so many people like yourself who like bucket list San Miguel, I met like this whole new wave of people that I'm really excited to still be connected with.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's a place that I know a lot of artists are drawn to. And so it was just between you and Sherry and the place, it was perfect. Yeah. But I was just going to say, as a solo traveler, I'm always looking for, you know, I, because of my circumstances, I'm always traveling alone, but I always look for like-minded people, and for especially groups of artists, I know that I'm going to automatically have something in common with them, you know, right off the bat, and just look for something fun. And so that's what I found. So, so that's how I found you and got to the retreat. And so I wanted you to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to San Miguel and what your past, your journey has been.
Yeah, I've had a long love affair with San Miguel. I'm from Chicago originally, but I came here in 1999 for the first time to take a sabbatical. I was a graphic designer way back, it feels like lifetimes ago. And I came here for a sabbatical to teach a dance class. And on my third day here, I fell in love. And decided to stay, right? It's a little bit more complicated than that, but that's the gist of it when you're going back like 20 years, right? And so that kind of began my love affair with living here in Mexico. And then a few years later, I married a Texan, and we went back and forth between here and Austin. And then we divorced, and I went back to Chicago. So it's all this kind of thing. And every time I left San Miguel, I'd be like, I'm never coming back. And then I would come back. But what happened, you know, as a probably, let's see, it was in 2013, I was back in Chicago, and my mom passed away. And my mom and I had a very bumpy road, as many mothers and daughters do. She didn't really like me, right? And so, but on her deathbed, she had this like, you know, epiphany, and she regretted not having been nicer to me. And I was like, what? And she's like, no, I really was wrong about you, and I wish I had been nicer. And that was like kind of one of the last things she said to me. And it was, you know, more complicated than that. But those words of my mother saying, I wish I had been nicer to you, literally changed my whole life. I had to change.
What a gift.
It was an amazing
The timing wasn't great, but what a gift.
It actually was, you know, in hindsight, you know, it's perfect, because we had to have this complicated life. And then at the very end, she saved my life when she was losing her life, right?
That's
so
beautiful.
It began this journey of me where I could no longer I had to be nice to myself. There wasn't even any like whether I had a choice or not. Like I literally began to live differently because of my mother's words. And I was drawn to cows and farms, and I had always been a city girl. And to sort of fast forward there with it, I had made this declaration that I was going to be a modern farmer, and I didn't even know what that meant. And in less than 2 years, I was a featured modern farmer in Modern Farmer magazine because I went to my ex-husband's cattle ranch and I learned how to make grass-fed beef with cows that are raised holistic management. And I was then asked to be featured in Modern Farmer magazine in less than 2 years and after making that declaration.
That's so amazing.
It was very amazing. And in that time too, I always knew that I was artistically inclined, but just ignored that like so many of us do, right? That because then life gets in the way and your career and making money and raising kids or whatever you're doing. And so after my mom's death, I started drawing again as just as a way to sort of calm myself. And then within a short time, I discovered Danny Gregory and his books and his book about A Kiss Before You Go. Oh my right. God, that completely, that was the thing I was like, oh my God, because he, you know, that message, that book, which is amazing, is all about how you move through grief.
Right. So I'll just interrupt you for a minute. I just interviewed Danny Gregory I told him that's how I discovered him was through that book. And I actually read it a few months before my husband passed away. And after my husband passed away, I remembered the book and went back to it. And you know, what a gift that book was, you know, I'm sure it's helped a lot of people through grieving and brought a lot of people to art.
Absolutely. Grieving. Right. Because not only was there that the moving through the grief or, finding your way through grief, just honoring the everyday, you know, what is it? Everyday matters.
Everyday that matters. Yeah.
And a great book, right? Yeah. So that kind of set me on my way. And then I was still living in Austin at the time. And then through all that, I discovered Urban Sketchers. And I love the idea of sketching on location. That was, for me, that was just like the most perfect, that was like the best thing to be out there in the world and sketching on location. I'm not really, even now, with this whole quarantine, it's like probably the hardest thing for me is to like be inside and sketch because I'm like, I don't want to sketch my kitchen.
I was going to ask you about that later in the interview. We might as well jump to that well, now. That I mean, I can't
out
imagine.
And have
I want to tell people that if they're not familiar with your art, they need to go look at it. That you have such you have so much movement in your art. And you can just tell that you're a lively person and that you like to be surrounded by activity when you're creating. And so I can't imagine for you, this must be like a prison sentence.
Well, yes and no, right? Because I mean, it wasn't just hard for me. It's been hard for all of us, right?
True,
and so at first I was like a caged animal. I'm like, oh my God, I'm losing my mind. But you know, when you realize it's not just about me and I'm not just being imprisoned, it's like the whole world, we're all being asked to do our part to save our community, right? So it's
Absolutely.
Really about thinking outside of ourselves to save our mothers, our grandmothers, our neighbors, our, you know, our community, right? And mm-hmm. so once that kind of set into my heart, into my blood pressure and everything, I'm enjoying it now. I mean, if I can even say that, there's something to be said for this quieting down and going within. And I'm reading books that I'd never had time to do. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people who don't have the ability to shelter in place, right? There's a lot of people being asked to be out working and out in the public. But anyways, I don't want to get too far involved in that. But
I think it's important to me because this will I'm sure will air while we're still in the midst of all this. So it is important that people, I think people are, I have a lot of people reaching out to me to see, you know, what are you doing? You know, what's keeping your sanity? I've had people, friends FaceTime me to talk them off a ledge, you know, that I'm so depressed, I'm anxious. And, you know, I think that's what you just said is perfect, where we are all in this together. It's hard when your control of your life's been taken away from you without your consent. but you just have to go with it. You have to go with it and you have to find those things that fill you up, and you're doing it for the best of everyone.
Yeah. And you know, once it really, I really understood that this is something bigger than me that I'm being asked. It's not about me, like sit in your house and, you know, think about yourself. No, it's sit in your house to save the world, right? That's amazing. How I think of it. I feel like a superhero just because I'm staying home.
What a fantastic outlook that is. I love it.
It took a little while to get there, but that's literally, once that kicked in, I was like, oh, and now I'm like watering plants and talking to them and seeing little baby praying mantises. And, you know, there is really something to be said for the world to be slowing down and, you know, thank God we still have Wi-Fi, right? Imagine if that were taken away, then we'd all be freaking out. But, you know, for right now, this is what it is. And I'm taking an online illustration class and taking a workshop on kindness and Kundalini yoga. I've been in Kundalini yoga for like over a year now. And breathing is really important right now. So I start my day with reading.
That's fantastic.
So
we got off topic just a little bit. Amazed at what is it, regenerative agriculture that you were involved in. What a background. I mean, to go
I literally blame my mother for this because she kind of helped me clear the path for the work that I'm very, very passionate about. I used to go hang out with cows just because I felt better breathing around them. And then I became a Reiki person. I learned about Reiki and I was too embarrassed to tell people that I did it. So I started doing it on cows and they loved it. Most of them loved it. So as I spent more time with cows, I started reading about cows, and you can't read about cows without reading about the meat industry. And I had spent years being a vegan and Megan the vegan, and not really clear about why I was doing it, but I know that I didn't feel good doing it. So anyways, I came in this whole thing with spending time with cows and reading about them. I got enraged about the meat industry. And I have an ex-husband who has a cattle ranch. But we're still on good terms as far as communicating. It was a hobby ranch, which I thought that was very arrogant of him. I said, you can't just have a hobby ranch. You need to be making grass-fed beef. And he said, I don't have time to figure out what that is. And I said, well, I do. And so he gave me one cow. And the next day I sold that cow to an organic shop here in San Miguel. And then 3 weeks later, I helped sacrifice that cow and I learned how to butcher. So I spent the next like year and a half learning about cattle ranching and, how to butcher, all that, because I felt like if this is something that I'm asking of the animals and people, you know, the community of meat eaters is asking, like, we owe it to the cows to not only give them the best life possible, but then to even extend that through their death and their sacrifice and how they sustain us. So regenerative agriculture it's kind of one of those buzzwords, kind of. I mean, it's not like grass-fed beef where even Walmart's in on that game. Regenerative agriculture is something it's much more niche. And it's literally about you raise animals properly and respectfully and in accordance with nature, they will sustain you. Right? Circle of life stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
It's fascinating.
Truly holistic. And people say to me, oh, if you love cows so much, how can you kill them? I go, well, it's not just about that. That's literally a holistic, give them the best life and then they give you the best life. Right?
Yeah.
It's good for the land, the animals, the farms, the people. So anyways, I still do that. I'm involved here with the only organic cattle ranch here in Mexico. I am their marketing director. I don't work there as much. And so as my time with them became less and less, and only because it was working, they didn't need a marketing person anymore. And I didn't really want to work as a butcher anymore, right? I was having more and more free time while I was still supporting them. And so then that's when I started I would go traveling, and I would, you know, I'd be a travel sketcher. And when I came back here to San Miguel, my friends would be like, oh, I want to go. I want to do that. I want to go travel sketch. And so I started organizing events and workshops where I would go travel sketching, and people would, my posse here would come with me, right? So it started very locally. I also then organized the community to be a regional chapter of Urban Sketchers. So now when people, Urban Sketchers, are traveling, they can find us here and come sketch with us. We sketch each week. And, you know, it worked out. It was really a beautiful thing because in tandem with Urban Sketchers and my art workshops, you know, it was getting kind of big and popular, right? I was doing, and my focus was mostly Mexico, doing art workshops here in Mexico. And then I was aligning with really great instructors like Sherry Blauka, Suhita.
Yeah, tell us some of the people that have come in and worked with you.
Well, yeah. So the first big fish, as they say, was Jim Richards. And that was just kind of a fluke because he and I were friends on Facebook. And I saw that he was telling one of his friends he was going to San Miguel. And I was like, oh, hi, I'm in San Miguel.
Again, social media. Right?
Yeah, I totally stalked him and hunted him down. And so we did a 1-day workshop here. And that was it 2 days. It was a couple years ago. And that, you know, so he introduced me to a lot of other people who were like, oh, who's this? Right. And then through that connection, it just started, you know, like social media, right? Just word of mouth. After that, I was, you know, there's a group of local instructors here that, you know, so all along I had a printmaker, I had watercolorist and illustrators that I was working with. But then because I was also doing some volunteer work with Urban Sketchers where I was writing an article each month. I still do. They would ask me who I'd want to interview, and I'd say, oh, Sherry Blauka, Suhita. You know, I would go after I would go after the ones that I wanted to work with, the ones that I admired and the ones I wanted to learn something from.
Yeah. And so I did want to tell the listeners, you would you say you're a correspondent or freelance for Urban Sketchers? You write articles about
I'm a writer.
Interview.
Yeah, I'm a volunteer writer for Urban Sketcher.
Right.
What is it? Drawing Attention. Their monthly
magazine. Their e-magazine. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a great way to meet the community, right? And other chapters around the world. So it's been a great way to network, right? It's always nice to do a little volunteer work where you can.
For sure.
So, yeah. So then I did, you know, I was doing a workshop with Suhita in Oaxaca and Sherry Blaukoff here. Oh my gosh, you know, since I'm in like this quarantine now, I'm like, it feels like a dream. Like, wait, did I really do that? Did that all really happen? Or am I just dreaming all that?
It's like the last workshop. Each other.
Totally. The last workshop I did was Ann Lauer in Guanajuato, which I think that was not all that long ago, but it feels like it was like
years. I think it was right after the one I attended. I think you were heading straight to that one. Yeah.
Which so was at the end of February before the world went mad.
Yeah, crazy.
And she got out of here just in time to get back to Europe and all that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And through all that, I've met such great people, and I'm, you know, I don't know what the future holds, but I hope, you know, I can continue this work somehow.
Well, I hope so too, because I wanted to share with the listeners. In the last 4.5 years, I have probably attended maybe 20 art retreats and workshops. That's what I do. And so when I'm not working, I'm doing that. Every trip that I've taken has involved an art retreat or workshop of some kind. And yours just stood out so much. They've all been great, don't get me wrong, but yours just stood out. And I want to share it with everyone because I want them to seek you out when this whole world situation ends.
Yeah.
But also just to share what a week with you was like, because it was, I mean, I laughed for a solid week. I had the best time. I felt like I saw Mexico like I've never seen it before. The first episode of the Wandering Artist podcast, I talk about my first journey after my husband passed away to Mexico, and it wasn't anything like this trip to Mexico. So, I just wanted to share with everyone that you know, the journey to was it León I flew into, Everything was arranged. You had taken care of transportation. The airport was easy. Immigration, customs breezed right through, no problems. The driver was waiting right where you said they'd be waiting. And it was a very nice and beautiful drive to San Miguel. And what I really love too, is that you, I don't know if you do it for all your workshops, for this one, you know, we chose, you had a hotel. And so we coordinated with the manager of the hotel ourselves to choose our rooms and pay for it. So that was all separate. So it really gave me the freedom of being able to pick what I wanted. And I'm one that, you know, I like my own room, I like my own bathroom. Yeah. So I, you know, I had that option. And a lot of times you don't, you have to share with someone. So that was nice.
I feel like all my workshops have to be like that, because no woman wants to share a bathroom or a room with anyone.
No, not at all. And especially, you know, women our age, pretty sure I'm older than you, but, and I found that most of the women on that group, you know, had their own rooms, but the hotel was beautiful. It was open courtyard, and my room was amazing. And the manager, Luis, was exceptional. Yeah. And you could tell the staff loved you and had a great relationship with you. Yeah. And this also happened to be a great group of women. It was a fun group. Everybody was very open and receptive. And so we had a great time. And this particular hotel, the Hacienda El Santuario, you can pronounce it way better than I can, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, you said it's like a folk art region.
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah, we have a terrible connection.
Okay, yeah. So we do. We kind of are going in and out right now. But yes, this area of this central Mexico, beautiful artisans, craftsmen, and yes, so that's why people like to come to San Miguel, because it's inland and there's amazing art.
Right. I was surprised too at the elevation. It was about 6,000 feet. I had no idea. I didn't research it that much before I left, which is unlike me, but the altitude was something, but it was beautiful. Just beautiful. Yeah. But so walk us through, if you, I mean, they might all blend together, but the things that we did that week, do you know, what do you typically do on your tours?
Well, all of my tours have been in Mexico, right? I live in San Miguel, so that one was in San Miguel, but I take groups to Guanajuato, to Mexico City, Oaxaca, Pátzcuaro, and that's it, right, so far. And having spent so many years here in Mexico and just being able to maneuver around, like I remember when I first arrived here, I was so sad because I couldn't chit chat with people, right? Like there was all these cultural things that, like when you move to a foreign country, it's hard to feel a part of, right? Well, at this point, I know how to chit chat and I know how to make things happen, right? There's a certain, I'm not completely fluent in Spanish, but if you can sort of talk like this, because that's what Mexicans do. If you can sort of, you can get things done, right? You kind of have to know how to.
Oh, I think you're very good
in English,
at it.
But Spanish.
Yeah,
because you can still be respectful and clear, right? So that's a whole art form in and of itself that have only by having time here have I figured out, and it's not perfect, but I've kind of figured out my way there. And so when I do bring groups in or offer a workshop, it's always a combination of not only having time to practice or study your art, but I like to incorporate a lot of the local fill in the blank, right? Food, culture, art, exploration, people, right? I mean, that's what makes, well, I was going to say traveling, but or travel sketching, but really that's what makes traveling so amazing. When you feel like you really blend in and you're not in a big bus with 40 other gringos and you're dropped off at a museum. Like I will never be shuffling around 45 gringos in and out of anywhere.
Nope.
45 people. I don't even care if I would like to start doing it, you know, outside of Mexico too. But wherever I go, it's always going to be a small intimate group. Like the workshop that you were with, that was probably my biggest one, and that was 14 people.
Well, and I thought the size was good. I didn't, you know, any more would have been too much, but it was just right. But it was enough people that we had a great time together, but I felt like I had a little one-on-one time with every single yeah. person. And you were so great at getting around to everybody and made everyone feel like, you know, they were not you know, paying you to attend, but that they were your yeah. guest in the city. So it was,
and that's why I wouldn't want it any bigger. Usually my groups are like 10, you know, between 10 and sometimes 8 to 14, right? Because mm-hmm. I like it to be that sort of intimate family feeling. Like you feel like you're traveling with a group of friends, because right. you are.
Yeah.
And yes. it's easier to get a good table at a restaurant, and it's easier to get into a museum and not look like a mob of tourists, because I don't like that mob feeling, right? I like the intimate thing.
I think there's a time and place for that. And I mean, that's exactly why I seek these type of things out, because yeah. I don't want to, you know, I'm alone all the time. I don't want to go on a trip and be alone on a bus with 45 people, because yeah. you can't get to know anyone. I want to go where I'm going to have the opportunity to meet people and, yeah. you know, share things. So, and definitely you provided that. You also, there were so many fun things about that week. And like I said, the number one thing is I laughed for an entire week. I just, every experience was hilarious, and we just had so much fun. It was so lively. But we went, the Mohegangas, tell the listeners about, I'm sure they don't know what Mohegangas are, but tell us about those.
So the Mohegangas are the huge paper mache dolls that a number of Mexican cities have their own style of Mohegangas, but I would say San Miguel has the best Mohegangas. We have our very own Wizard of Oz, Herme Arroyo, who he and his family design and make these Mohegangas. And he was it was hard for me to get into, he wouldn't talk to me for whatever reason. And finally, like right before you guys all arrived, he agreed to let everyone come in and see and sketch his Mohegangas, which, the, you know, like they literally are, it's like this, they're 12 feet tall paper mache dolls that he builds the head and the bust. And then there's these large sticks that he puts dresses over. And usually it's teenage boys in there running around, you know, and dancing in the streets. And San Miguel is kind of known for their Mohegangas, because they're always around the church, they're in the weddings, they're in the fiestas. They started out as the family was making them for religious ceremonies, you know, like for this week is Holy Week. And so they would do a whole recreating the Passion of the Christ with paper mache. And they're beautiful, but at some point they transitioned to doing these dolls for the street festivals and just for fiestas, right? And now you can get a custom-made Mohiganga that looks like you. It's very popular when people are getting married here. This is a popular wedding destination, and so you could get a bride and groom that look like you when you're the bride and groom. So we had a great time. We were able to go into the studio where he had them all lined up, and he, you know, he's hilarious, and he told us about how and why they do what they do. So you know, it was not only a great sketching opportunity, but it was a great cultural experience to hear from the Mohiganga maker and his family right. why they do what they do.
It was, and I remember being in that sort of an open air studio as well, and just being able to stand there and sketch these enormous, I mean, some of them are 16 feet tall.
Yeah. Huge.
And, but just the night before, our first night there, we went, you took us all for a little walk, and there was a couple in front of the cathedral, the parroquia that he was proposing to his
yeah.
fiance, and a mariachi band appears out of nowhere in these Mohiganga bride and groom. And so, I mean, it's almost like you
planned that better myself.
I know. I'm telling you what, it was just like, wow, man really knows how to throw a good retreat.
Everyone's first night there, I go, let's walk outside, and there's mariachis and a guy proposing and Mohegangas and the church bells. Yeah, it was
beautiful, but it happened all week long. It wasn't like it was just that first yeah. night. It's just there's something always happening in the streets of San Miguel. It was just yeah. amazing. So that was a great experience. And Sherry did a sketching demonstration. Then we all got to spend time drawing these these Mohegangas, and they have enormous hands and heads, and they're the body is sort of a
boobs.
Yeah, and boobs. Yeah, we can say that on podcast. But everything's exaggerated, so they were really fun to sketch and draw. So, and then I mean, throughout the entire week, we had so many. You took us to, you know, local places, which I loved. I didn't feel like a tourist at all.
Yeah.
And we had amazing food, and you, I think probably my favorite night of all was the night you took us out for street food. And we literally just, you should explain it more than me, but it really stands out for me. It was so much fun, but talk about, that meal that we
that
had and how we started out.
Yeah. So, you know, I live in Mexico and I sometimes forget about the great food I have access to. Not right now, but, you know, like the Mexican street food is just off the charts, right? And I don't always eat like that, but like for that sort of situation. I know. We started at a local bar and had, oh my gosh, I'm not remembering. Jicama and shrimp tacos.
So the
tortilla was made out of jicama with shrimp and some veggies and stuff like that, and a beautiful margarita. We did a Mexican street taco crawl.
Taco crawl, then, yeah.
Yeah, and from there we went and had elote, which is the corn on the cob on, you know, with mayonnaise and cheese and limon and chile.
It was amazing. Just off the carts on the streets. And
right
it was, you know, Megan was very good about letting us know where we could eat and shouldn't eat and that kind of thing. But
yeah.
It was just, I just felt like I was so immersed in the culture that night. It was fun.
It looked like the elote, the corn on the cob, was the most, that's what it looked like. Everyone was really having the most fun.
It was fun.
That corn was so delicious.
Then you took us I couldn't imagine where we were walking, but we walked a few blocks away through a couple dark streets, and then we came upon this taco cart that, you were checking to see if they were out there. You said they start late at night and go till early morning hours.
Even the vegetarians couldn't resist and had to have a street taco.
That's right. I've never had anything like it. I mean,
yeah,
I grew up in San Diego, and
oftentimes people come to Mexico and they're like, you know, it's so different than the American lifestyle, right? And there's these street tacos and you're curious, but there's also a lot of like, you know, oh, don't eat on the streets. You'll be sick forever. Right.
Right.
But you know, living here, I know where I will eat and where I won't eat. And I certainly research, because I'm not going to bring anyone to where I'm like, is that going to be okay? So we go to the ones that like are the best time. You eat tacos in the street after you have a few drinks and just, you know, everyone's laughing. And
it was fun.
It's families out there. And it's, you know, it's just, it's the whole Mexican way of life is really such a beautiful thing. And I never planned to do this sort of, like, it wasn't, oh, I'm going to go there and bring groups here. It never was like that at all. But as I got to know it more and experience it more, I'd go back to America and I'd be like, it's so dry here. Like, it's just the way that they celebrate life here, the way they just live life, not even celebrate. There's just, it's hard to shake it when I go back to America. And I would go back. Yeah, it was just like, there's, you know, everyone works all the time, right? I work all the time too, but it's just, it's different because there's an acknowledgement of life and, you know, the moments in life, and even just eating street tacos with your buddies, is super fun.
Right.
And I know they have that in America, but you know, the food truck thing,
but not like it was there. Yeah. And to me, we were surrounded by the locals. I mean, locals were out at night with the kids and the grandparents, and they were gathering. They were gathering in the square. And so it just felt like, you know, when I travel, I don't want to go see all the main sites. I want to do what the locals do, because I feel like that's the only way you can experience the culture. So
that's what I really, in all my workshops, like I've had people say, well, why don't you go here? Why don't you go here? Why don't you go here? I go, because I don't know enough about all of them. Like, all of my workshops are places where I know the people who run the restaurant or are part of it, right? the hotels where I know people. Like, I really, that's super important to me, because I know I have, there's peers, people I know and respect who are doing this as well. And there's, you know, they're going all, they're jetting all over the place, and kudos to them. But for me, I really have to know who I'm working with and have to have a rapport, and so that I know that my people, you know, my groups are going to be treated well, and, you know, like the family thing. So yeah, I mean,
they were, and I mean, it was really endearing to see the people on the streets greeting you, and that knew you, and, you know, so yeah. We knew it was authentic. You were a part of that community, and yeah. You know, beloved and respected there. So that was nice to see too.
Yeah, sure. But I remember Sherry Blaukow's first night here. It was kind of rainy, and the guy in the street with the donkeys, they were like, "Oh, I love Negan," and she's like, "You know the donkey guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know the donkey guy. Come on, what are you kidding me?"
Yeah, exactly.
And so every night the donkey guy was like, "Hola," and Sherry's like, "Hola."
Exactly. I mean, it's fun to be an observer of all that, you know, but yeah. I mean, I felt it like a part of it. So it was nice.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, I would like you to tell everyone how we finished off the street food night with after the tacos, if you remember, for dessert.
Wait a minute. We went to churros, right? Yes, we went to the place, and that it's actually a telenovela star, who a celebrity, I can't remember her name, but she came to San Miguel and opened up a churros and chocolate cafe. And so after we did the whole, you know, street food, elote and tacos, and then we went to the churro cafe and got churros filled with chocolate,
hot, yeah. Still,
hot,
it was amazing.
Fresh. Yeah. I mean, who doesn't like fried dough? I think Every culture has a fried dough, but yeah, it's A beautiful thing to have.
It was an amazing night, you know, just out on the street, the moon was full, and you could hear mariachi music everywhere in that city, and it was a magical experience. So, and then we have one other great cooking experience where you took us to meet two local chefs, and we had a cooking experience there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was great. These are two local women chefs that have been here for a number of years. And so not only do they have a restaurant, they have two restaurant businesses, but they also have a cooking school. And I was able to custom design, because we're Skechers. And this is a thing too, like, so when I talk to people who offer something and I want to bring my sketching people, they're like, "What do you mean you want to draw this?" I'm like, "Yeah, we want to draw it, right? What's wrong with that?" And so
nobody gets it, right?
Yeah. Unless you're a sketcher, right? Yeah. So we designed a whole evening where they had the chef would talk about the chiles and the spices and everything, and they had different stations where we could go around, but first we were able to like sketch, because they were giving, like, telling you what this chile was and what this jitomate was and all that. And so we got to sketch part of it, and then we went from station to station to learn about the guacamole and the we had the
salsa.
Remember the salsa, but the margaritas, the jamaica.
Oh, the jamaica, so, yeah.
Jamaica, which is actually hibiscus, is this red, beautiful flower, and we made margaritas out of that, which were just so beautiful, right?
They
and
were.
So it just, yeah. So that was a great way, because we got to go, we rotated around stations, and in the end, what we had done is we had all made our dinner.
Right. What was the cactus flower? What do you call that again? We cook that, we peeled it, and...
Oh, yeah, shokanosle.
Shokanosle, yeah, that was amazing.
XOCO, shokanosle, right. Yeah, which they're not in season. Everything's very seasonal here, right? So that's a beautiful thing. I totally forgot about those beautiful...
Well, that was a beautiful part of the meal, is these two chefs were local, and they were sort of reviving what their ancestors always ate. They ate off the land. And so we were really cooking things that were all found there.
And
the different ways.
And in the garden that was out back, there was a garden right there. Yeah. And
so really farm to table, but, you know, for sure it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, that's another thing about Mexico. I mean, the food is just off the charts, right? It and I'm is. I work in farming too here, so I have an opportunity to be super close to it. And you know, with what's going on in the world right now, it's like an even bigger message of like, man, just know where your food comes from. No stop kidding. With the factory farming, stop with the mass overly processed. Get to know your farmer.
Yeah, and get it's to a good lesson food. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. And super important now, a little bit it has a little bit of an edge there because there's so much local food and it doesn't have the food scarcity issues that maybe some of the other places have right now. It's got its own set of problems. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot not right here, but there are some things that are right. So,
well, I did want to ask you about that because I want to put people's minds at ease. When I told people that I was traveling to San Miguel, they said, oh my gosh, there's crime there and there's gangs and there's all these things. And, you know, I did a little bit of research, but it didn't matter. I was going anyway, but, I saw no evidence of it at all. And I don't think people should be deterred from going, but what assurances can you give people?
I mean, that's all. And, there's always been fear around traveling to Mexico, especially if you've not traveled to Mexico. There's a lot of assumptions and a lot of media-driven fear, political-driven fear.
Right.
And, you know, I tell people, if you're afraid, don't come, right? I mean, you have a choice. We did have a choice. You have a choice of going or not going to a place, right? But if you choose not to come, you're going to miss an amazing opportunity to see and be a part of a culture that is really, it's something to be experienced, right? And yes, there are some, you know, there's a lot of economic fears. And I mean, now at this point, I don't even know what the future is going to look like, but I mean, I'm from Chicago, and Chicago has horrendous crime and violence, and I lived on the near north side, and generally speaking, I felt very safe there, but I knew where not to go.
Right, right. So,
right? And you could say that about almost anywhere in America.
I was just going to say that. Like, I think you're going to experience that anywhere.
Know where to go.
Right. I've traveled all over the world and I've known where to stay out of. And, you know, there are just certain things, like, you know, as a solo female traveler, you don't go out and hang out in the bars at night by yourself. You know, you don't do that anywhere in the world, but I will say,
or go out buying drugs at 2 a.m. Right.
It's exactly. But in San Miguel, to put everybody's mind at ease, if you ever had any doubts, it was so safe. I never once felt anything but just like I belong there. And the police presence was very visual, and I was never harassed or anything. It's just a beautiful place. And it has a very large expat community, which I was surprised about.
Yeah. There's a lot of single women come here, older women come here after perhaps maybe the marriage has ended or the career is over, the children have left their nest and they're ready to reinvent themselves, right? So there's a large community of older single women here who come here and are ready to be artists, ready to be writers, ready to do whatever, fill in the blank. There's a, you know, with this whole globalization, which that'll be another thing to see how that all shakes out. Can we still be remote workers? Maybe, right? We'll see how this all...
Who knows what the future will bring.
So there's a large, strong community. So what I like about that is, you know, like I travel alone. I like to do things alone. But with this community of all these like super powerhouse women, you can go be a part of. And so this has been a great community for me to be a part of and live in, because I can do my own thing. And then there's a lot of women and events and activities where you can join in. So
yeah. And a few of your friends did join us for part of the tours and things. And I met a few of your friends. They were really lovely. And what a nice group of women. And you know, they told me they get together weekly or twice monthly at least to sketch together. So
the sketching community, we get together every Tuesday, and that's a big strong community. And even now we're doing, I run two Zoom sketch events every week, every Sunday and every Wednesday. And it's been a great way just to sort of keep us grounded and just checking in with each other, right?
So I was going to ask you about that. So that's your quarantine measures, is that you guys are doing, getting together by Zoom and sketching together.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, because we're all kind of like, you know, a lot of us are alone and living alone and going through this quarantine alone. And so it's a great way, you know, it's not the same, right? I mean, we're on Zoom right now. It's great, right? But wouldn't it be better to be sitting together?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I wish I was sitting in San Miguel right now, sitting on your terrace. Having a margarita with you.
Right. Well, you're in Florida, right?
I'm in Florida right now. Yeah. My son is actually quarantining in Grand Cayman, where my other home is and my business is. So he can't leave the island, and they're not allowing any traffic in and out. So but I have a daughter here in Florida, so we're all just separated right now. You know, so thank God for FaceTime and Zoom and things like that.
Right?
Well, I did want to,
You know, this whole online connection thing, it's like we're alone.
So I did want to make sure that people understood too, that, you know, we were talking about this amazing experience, that there was sketching constantly. We had a great instructor, Sherry Blaukoff, but also we went everywhere with our sketchbooks. And so it was, every meal, everything was a sketching experience.
One of my hashtags is always be sketching, because in my workshops, you always have to bring your sketchbook.
I love it. It's great. And I look back, I mean, at the time, you know, trying to hurriedly finish these sketches while we're in the middle of something, but I didn't want to miss the thing. And I went back later and looked at it all. I was like, well, these are pretty good. I'm really happy with them. So I did capture moments there, which was nice. So,
right.
Yeah. Well,
that's
Megan,
a beautiful
know-
thing, because a lot of people get caught up. Oh yeah, go ahead.
No, we have a lag here. So, no, say what you're going to say.
We do have a lag. I don't remember now. So
capturing moments.
Yeah.
No, I was obviously the future is uncertain for all of us. But I assume that you're still going to, if you're able, plan to continue doing what you're doing. I sure hope so. And I wanted to share with the listeners that I have already signed up for another trip with you. So hopefully that will be able to happen. And so what's on the horizon?
Right?
To Mexico City. Yes. With Suhita. Yeah. Yes.
Suhita. Yeah. I have
another place and another person that I really wanted to see and to be with.
She's great. The whole capturing in the moment. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
I do have some workshops on the books, but I'm not promoting them. I'm not even thinking about them because I don't know what the future holds, right? And so I kind of want to just hold off on doing any more promoting or even talking about it until May.
Yeah, that
so
makes sense.
I hope to see you in Mexico City.
I hope so too, Megan.
Later this year, but we'll be fingers crossed on that for right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to encourage everyone to follow you on Instagram. Follow you and Art Leap Adventures, which is your business. And I'll have all the links in the show notes here and links to everything we've talked about. But I just wanted to express my gratitude. I'm so happy that our paths crossed, and I've had so much fun with you. And just every time I see one of your sketches, it makes me smile. I just see so much life in what you create. And so I want to encourage everyone to follow you and to check out, hopefully, your adventures in the future. We'll see. But
I'm having little adventures in my little world, like we all are right now, right?
Exactly.
You got to make the best of it, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The sketching prompt came up. Oh, sketch your closet. I'm like, I don't want to sketch my closet.
Exactly.
I want to be out there. But, you
I
know,
think I have sketched everything inside my entire house right now. I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's about being of service in a different way. And I think that's super important right now. And I at some point, we'll have some sense of normalcy again, not going back to what it was, but just moving, you know, our new way of being and sketching and traveling. I guess that's yet to be determined, but I'm hopeful that, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and somehow, some way, we'll get together and sketch. And I have loved meeting you, and I love following you and the work that you're doing, and I really appreciate you thinking of me for this. So I'm quite honored. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure, Megan. Well, I'm hoping that I'll be seeing you very soon.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Take care, hon. All the best.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Adios. Isn't Megan fun? I just love talking to her and truly hope that when we are past these days of social distancing, you'll have the opportunity to go on one of her adventures. For now, though, you can follow her on Instagram, and she is offering daily Zoom virtual sketching. And like many others, she is doing what she can to continue her creative practices during these challenging times. What an inspiration she is. I'd like to say again how very much it means to me when you take a moment to comment and rate the podcast. The amount of downloads has shocked me, and the feedback helps me to provide quality content for you. I'm also happy to share that this podcast has been picked up by iHeartRadio, so that's very exciting. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please get in touch with me through my contact form on my website, lorrainebell.com. I'm always looking to connect with others who have a yearning for travel or a unique outlook on how to navigate through life's challenges. Thanks again for tuning in to Postcards from the Road. And until next time on my weekly-ish podcast, stay safe and be well. Be kind to yourself and to others. And remember to write your own story and don't just be a lesser character in someone else's. This is Lorraine Bell, wishing you adventures beyond your wildest dreams.